The following is a Tail Gunner George production, brought to you by the Wiccan Search Institute, the Joseph McCarthy Memorial Foundation. Barnstone productions are underwritten by Vallone and Associates, dealers in productive real estate, the IPNB, the American Civil Liberties Union, and supported by QLab.
Up to this date, up to this very moment, none of those who have said they don't like the methods have told us any other method they could use that would be effective. And when you hear them crying that they don't like the methods, I suggest that you ask them when and where they ever exposed the communists by their method. When they say, you don't treat them like gentlemen, I'd like to ask them, take the 20, the 20 whom I've named to you. You say, don't give us general statements, my good friend. Say, pick out one of those cases and tell us where we ever mistreated any of those innocent communists. You know, it's so easy to make those general statements. And when they say you don't treat them like gentlemen, while we do, I might say that if we did not, I would not cry for them. Traitors are not gentlemen, my good friends. They don't understand being treated like gentlemen. May I say to you, my good friends, tonight, to the American people, that I don't care. I don't give a tinker's dang how high or how low, people in either the Republican or Democrat party, either party.
Send a wire.
You'll have time to do that at the terminal, sir.
Oh, that'll be too late. I'll write out my message, and you ask the pilot to radio it back to the terminal and ask them to send it.
I'm afraid that's impossible.
You ask the pilot.
I'm sorry, sir. It's against all regulations. No personal.
You know
message...
who I am?
Yes, sir. But no exceptions.
What
can
is your
made.
Name?
I'm Miss Davidson.
Miss Davidson, this message concerns an investigation I'm conducting. It is of the utmost urgency.
Well, I don't doubt that,
you acknowledge
sir.
The importance of my message. And yet you refuse to convey my message to the police. Davidson, I'm aware that you won't be the first individual who has hidden behind so-called regulations and used them as a device to further interests directly opposed to those of the majority of loyal citizens of our country. Your uncooperative attitude can only cast the gravest doubts on your own loyalty, Miss Davidson.
I'm only doing my job. I'll speak to the pilot if you
will.
We're
on fire.
Good day, sir. My name is Martin, Inspector Martin of the Immigration Service.
Immigration? I don't understand. Where am I?
It's quite all right, sir. You're safe now. Will you follow me, sir?
Where are the other passengers? How many survivors were there?
There were no survivors, sir.
You mean I am the only one?
There were no survivors.
You know who I am?
Yes, sir. I know all about you.
Well, let's have it then.
It would be a lot easier for you if you figure it out for yourself.
What's your name?
Inspector Martin of the Immigration Service.
All right, Martin. In view of this, your refusal to cooperate can only cast grave doubts on your motives. I can assure you this incident will be investigated thoroughly.
Well, it's about time, Martin.
Sorry I'm late, sir. I was delayed at the border.
You're always delayed at the border, Martin. Why don't you tell these immigrants where they are right off? Gross inefficiency. You young fellows think just because you've got civil service jobs, you can get away with anything. When I started in the immigration service, we had to keep on our toes, believe me.
My name is...
Yes, I know who you are. It's all down here in the record. Now, if you just sign this...
What is this document?
Standard form, application for permanent entry. Sign right there.
Here I am. Why are we going this way? Isn't that the main gate over there?
Oh, you can't go through that yet.
Why not? I signed that document.
Well, that's just an application. Before you can go through the main gate, we've got to investigate you.
Investigate me?
You'll be investigated thoroughly by the Permanent Investigating Committee on Permanent Entry. I am the chairman.
I make no allegations. I'm making a statement on policy.
But you've got to be investigated.
I raise no objections. I'm merely making this request in order to provide a safeguard which will guarantee fair play and justice. Nor am I attempting in any way to put any pressure of any kind on either you or the members of your committee. However, may I point out that your refusal to even consider it might be construed wrongly and might lead to speculation.
Welcome to this evening's program. I am your host, Sir Gregory Esquire Gieselbox. Excuse me while I pour myself a drink here like some sort of dapper erudite Dean Martin TV kind of sort of character. There. Okay, I'd like to begin by telling you a little something about myself. I am a world-renowned print journalist with impeccable credentials. I have worked as a foreign correspondent for publications such as the monthly periodicals, magazines, and so forth and so on, and as well as the prestigious wire service and other things like that. And my byline has prominently appeared under my picture most often, and can be found usually over on the left-hand side, if you'll excuse the expression. I became involved as an activist in the Pacifica struggle. When I was writing for a small publication here in Houston, a newsletter, actually, which was distributed among the major newspapers, and I believe it was called the Aravista, and my illustrious radio broadcasting career began so long ago, I can't even remember it. But these are the travails of the network Pacifica. Whose seemingly endless journey
to boldly go
poked their nose around where no one is supposed to go, places where no one has gone before, to seek out new worlds and go where the truth is where they say it is. Before I rose to my present pinnacle of power with the HULAB, I had my humble beginnings with the HCPR.
This is Scooter with the Scooter Report. From the Axis of Evil Dome and the Scooter Report with the Scooter Report Report.
We're inside the Houston Council for Politburo Radio. And there's no recording allowed. About to begin.
There will be no recording of this meeting. There will be no recording of this meeting. Anyone who violates the sanctity of this secret meeting will be dealt with. You 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 will be dealt with. The chair recognizes Greg Gieselbox. I talked with Mr. Dennis Bernstein the other day on the telephone, and he had many things to say, but I don't have my notes with me, so I'll just make a few things up.
That's not what you said you're going to talk about! Talk about something else! Talk about something else! Don't talk about that! That's not what we said you were going to talk about! Talk about something else! Talk about Tory Mercer! Talk about Tory Mercer! You will be done with! You will be done with!
Okay, well, on to other things. I spoke with Mr. Tory Mercer the other day, and I do have my notes with me. Because I don't have the advantage of my typewriter with me today, I will have to rely upon my little sound effects box here for my punctuation. So this is my favorite, the asterisk. And this is a bracket. And this is a forward slash. And this is a comma. And this is a period, and this is a closing bracket. This is a parenthesis, and this is a reversed parenthesis, and this is a greater than sign, and this is a less than sign, and this is an addition sign, and this is an equal sign, and this is a quotation. With that said, I'd like to begin, please. Tori buried at the bottom, the very bottom of your incomplete, meandering, unattributed piece re events, some big numbers in Barcelona is the following ominous line. Young people are our only hope for changing this cancerous social system. What does this mean? Oh, we'd probably agree if you didn't just parrot these pablum generalities. Media alert. Fact 1. American education is in deep doo-doo. Media alert. Fact 2. Teenagers are not flinging themselves off the Bay Bridge because they cannot find the Bay Bridge in Houston. Media alert fact 4. Texas preteens do not pine in East Piney Woods. Do not pine in Texas Piney Woods. I must admit, Tori, that I don't know much about children, but I have a strong gotcha feeling that most American teenagers would quickly see through your endless carping litany of anti-democratic political control means that I'm forcing them to think what you want them to think. With your ill-disguised, ideological, flavor-of-the-month fluff, or worse. My admittedly limited experience with teenagers suggests that they will be more attracted to, and will make a greater contribution to, a radio station which knows what it is, where it is headed, as opposed to one which panders them for direction. My dementors, they seek at that station. Thank you very much, and no one will repeat any of these things. No one will repeat anything. This is a secret meeting. This is a secret democracy. This is a secret democratic meeting. You will not violate our democracy. That's it from Houston Council for Politburo Radio. The people who bring you the most successful step that the HCPR has taken in the Pacifica struggle was to create their own little lab, the Hugh Lab, of which, of course, I am a member. Now, what we did was, we waited for these pesky peace activists when they were away for the weekend in Austin, and we held a little election, you see. We have my friend Stan Merriman, who was in the community, and went into the quite a collection of people who would like to hear more Garrison Keillor, and we formed this little lab thing, you see, the Hugh Lab, and the HCPR and the White Boy Radio Report assembled this group of people, you see, and we all basically voted for each other and formed this thing called the Hugh Lab, and then we went to Washington, you see, and then we went to the Washington to the PNB meeting, and we said, we are the lab. We'd like the Pacifica National Board to recognize us as the elected lab, you see. But Carol Spooner would not permit such a thing, and I don't know who appointed her queen of the movement. And I should point out that Miss Spooner lost her temper, began flailing her arms and wildly saying, "It will be a cold day in Pacifica when you are the lab." This is what she said. Or at least that's what we tell everyone around here.
Oh, my good friends. They don't understand being treated like gentlemen.
One of the people who make this program possible is the much maligned Garland Ganter, you see, because Garland Ganter essentially wiped out Pacifica Radio quite some time ago, you see. And there hasn't been anything in Houston even vaguely resembles a Pacifica radio station for over 5 years, you see. Or even vaguely resembles a community station in Dogbone, Arkansas. Because, you see, these radio music pimps have completely took it over, and they've been pandering this garbage, sort of country western white boy music slop on our audience, who now think they have a right to the station, you see. So, I would like to offer special thanks from me and my friend Dan Jones, and Mr. and my good friend Ben. Since the people around here have never really heard a Pacifica station, what we stand for is local control, you see. Because if there's local control, we will rule this station with a bunch of people who have never heard a Pacifica station. And they do not know what the mission is, you see. And our job with the Hugh Lab is to, you see, keep them from finding out what the mission is, you see. And so far, we have been very successful. You see, what me and Mr. Jones like to do, we like to get on the telephone and we like to call people up. And when we call them up, we like to tell them about their friends, you see. What's wrong with their friends? We think their friends are very suspicious, you see. This is what we do. You may have gotten a call from me and Mr. Jones, or a passing email, yes. You may recognize the tactic. It's very, very useful.
Yeah.
I was talking to Dennis Bernstein on the telephone the other day. But before we get into that, I'd like to... Excuse me while I switch my speakerphone here. I'm
sorry, I need no batteries on this. I think I need to turn off my punctuation box here. This apparatus was designed by Victor Borgia himself.
Don't underestimate.
I seem to have inadvertently changed the setting. Well, I'm not sure how to work this thing. Let's just switch here. Maybe I'll leave it on for right now. I've been meaning to speak with you about some of the company that you have been keeping. Now, who is this Sheila Harris person that you've been talking to? You know, I've been watching her and how she operates. When I was writing for the Atlanta Monthly Journal, or whatever it was, I think I was on assignment in Ducks Breathistan. I used to have caviar at lunch with the head of the Secret Service there. And you begin to understand firsthand exactly how they operate! And just how the totalitarian mind works, you see. They like to control everything, like this... This young Sheila Harris character, and who is this Lynn Gary person that he has something about? Who is Princess Lynn of the dissident movement? Once someone like that gets control, you can forget about freedom of expression. And who is this Carol Spooner that I hear so much about? Who appointed her queen of the movement? I know how these people think, you see. You think these people will be allowed freedom of expression? I think not, what about this one-man Moynihan Mafia? I suspect that somehow he is connected with the Pacifica campaign. How long do you think it'll take for people to figure that one out? I can tell that you're a man of very intelligent cognition. And I can assure you that we do not watch out. We'll have a whole network of these Mark Bilk types. Bilk! These Bilk!
Where did Barnstone come from? Which of the three divisions were the three sources?
That's a good question.
Murdoch called up for... Right. Murdoch called Ganter and said, all right, who can we get when they packed the board to that final... with that pre-settlement vote when Barry got on there. I think he was part of that gig.
So in other words, his function there at that time was to bias the board against, basically, as we put it clearly, against the Pacifica mission, against pro-human leftist broadcasting of accurate, true information, and to have it go back to the way it was, during the occupation.
And I don't have to tell you about this Bob Bazanko lunatic.
The KPFT, this is Bob Bazanko on Open Journal. That was The Clash singing Washington Bullets, which was an appropriate song because today Washington's bullets are helping to kill the women and children, doctors and ministers, clergy in Palestine. You're listening to KPFT, the voice of the dispossessed and the voiceless. The past hour, you may have thought you were listening to Fox as we had an apologist for the terrorist state of Israel. We're reverting back to regular Pacifica programming right now. We're going to talk about the role Americans have had in the recent coup in Venezuela. We're going to have a representative from the Venezuelan consulate and talk to a local expert on the issue. Then after that, we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming march in Washington, D.C. for peace this weekend and talk to somebody who's done some work on the Vietnam anti-war movement and how it compares to current efforts. So thanks for listening to us, and welcome again to KPFT. In the studio, I have with me Vardkas Sakhchyan, who is a representative of the Venezuelan consulate.
Well, there's a Marxist in action for you. I wonder if you've ever seen Marxism up close. The gulags, the bureaucracy, the young prostitutes on the streets, and try to get a decent bottle of wine. You need connections. They know how to keep them in line over there. They know, or they get what's coming to them. That's right! They don't fool around behind the iron cat, behind the scooter! They don't fool around! No! Well, you're a man of the world. That means you get around, and that means that you've been lots of places, you see. Unlike these provincial, thuggish, Nordic, hip Ingham types. Don't make the mistake of trusting someone like that. And what about these so-called listeners? Like Miss Heffley and Miss Chesney. Why do they have names like this? And what's all these Andreas? I think we'll find out soon. Excuse me for a moment. I have a phone call here. You will be done with! Just as I thought. What about these miserable Maoist throwback, one-sided, four-dimensional Berkeley types? Like this Sheridan. I had a high school principal named Sheridan. He was very strict, but not strict enough! Oh, I have a phone call. Excuse me. You're stealing my lines! You're stealing my lines! You will be done with! Oh, yes, okay. And who is the shoe? What sort of person has a name like shoe? Sounds like something you'd put on your foot. And these languid, local, liberal lollipops. Ken Freeland? Freeland? That's an alias if I've ever heard one. Freeland? Freeland? What's he trying to say? What is he trying to say? Excuse me. You're stealing my land! You will be done with! What about this program director? What is Hardy McClay? The man can't even spell his own name. He must be removed. You will be done with!
He will be removed! He will be removed! These violent dogs will be removed! Yes! Yes, my scooter! They will know my lap!
You're stealing my land!
What do you think is going on? Ah, I know what's going on!
You will be done with! This is a meeting! This is a secret democracy! This is a secret democratic meeting! You will not violate the sanctions!
You think
that
we're the communists?
You will be done with!
All
travelers! Or you will be done with!
You liberals! The eggheads! And some of my good friends in both the Democrat and Republican parties, who can become heroes overnight in the eyes of the left-wing press if they will join with the jackal pack.
Myself and Bangor and Mr. Jones like to cloak ourselves as a listener movement, you see.
Cannot be.
We like to put ourselves at odds with the management of the station, you see.
As I've often said,
we like to talk about how exclusionary they are, you see. And that's why we need to get rid of them.
Certainly the millions of loyal...
Because as long as we're being exclusionary, we'll never be able to get that Bernstein off the air. And while they're being exclusionary, they protested us locking FSRN out. As long as they're being exclusionary, we'll never be able to get rid of that Bob Pezenko. And as long as they're being exclusionary, we'll never be able to get rid of all these languid, liberal, pesky, Pacifica, whistleblowers, communists out of the station. Because as long as the management of KPFT is exclusionary, we will never be able to prevent that sort of radio.
For 105 years, the war declared by Karl Marx and...
What I see going on here is, you know, I've been reading this new Pacifica list, and there it seems that Gieselman and Edmund Johnston and Dan Jones kind of take turns in, you know, trying to keep Free Speech Radio News out of KPFT, in attacking Dennis Bernstein and Flashpoint. And now going after Bob Bezanko. Their targets are always on the left. their targets are always the pro-human, you know, which to me is the left. Of course, I mean, you know, totally democratic left and everything. And so it seems like there is a, you know, I don't know if you call it a conspiracy. It's kind of going on in the open here. They just don't say that's what they're doing, but that's what they're doing. And they're trying to...
I mean, these two guys, Jones, basically kind of appeared on the scene, and nobody knows anything about them. They don't really have a stance on anything. Nobody in the peace and justice communities know one thing about them. Hmm. Right before we started putting out the information about Belinsky, I had a conversation with Jones. I said, are you kidding? Look at Belinsky's resume. This is a corporate funder who loves NPR. He wants corporate underwriting and NPR. Are you kidding? He says, oh, don't worry about that, because his friends will keep real tight control of him. And that's the phone conversation. I said, okay. And then the next thing I know, he came up with the lie about the Glantz, Kuzenko, Ingham, FSRN conspiracy, of which at that point I'd never even spoken to Aaron Glantz until this conspiracy had come out. And the only time I'd spoken to Monica Lopez, FSRN reporter coming to Houston, was to find out when she was coming into the airport. And, you know, so this is the beginning of this whole sordid freaking bullshit down here at KPFT, is when Jonesy lost his little control edge in his ability to manipulate the lab. And that's basically what had been happening. And I'm not interested in finding out why he's doing what he's doing, but this is what he's been doing. And we've been spending so much time, you know, and other people have sort of joined in with these guys, like Merriman, when he was at the ACPR meeting a month and a half ago, when they passed a resolution to call for Odie's removal from the station, for Duane to fire Oda. That the actual article on the IMC called for his removal.
Yeah. Which probably should carry more weight than an unsigned letter delivered by Sherry Corman?
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, these people have been able to, you know, garner support from a few people in the lab, whether, you know, for sympathy to Eddie or for whatever the reasons. And, you know, it's just this, here we have a chance to make this into this incredible radio station where Otis has thrown open the doors to make it as democratic as possible, as open to the community as possible. And, you know, it's just this huge amounts of time to kind of fend off this attack from this minuscule number of people who are making all this noise, and it's just absorbing, you know, disrupting the meetings. It's just an incredible waste of time and effort. And the biggest problem is that, you know, the good people on the lab and participating with KPFT refuse to confront these people in an honest manner and say, all right, you are being disruptive, you're taking us off track, and stop it.
See what I mean?
Excuse me for a moment.
You will be done with!
Not even Decision Strategies has this handy little Eddie in a box.
Wait a minute, I'm going to say something! Did I mention that me, Edwin Johnson, won a Nobel Peace Prize?
It's not quite perfected yet.
Created a multi-million-dollar foundation to help the poor.
Invented
the Post-it notes. Taught Radio Free Willie everything he knows about.
It backfiles sometimes, you know.
Created Scooter out of thin air. Showed Roger M. how to play guitar.
Can you put a lid on this thing? It's hard to make the thing stop.
But I digress. Now, where were we?
And I find it extremely unforgivable.
Oh, yes, yes.
That anyone,
when one studies Pacifica, there's much to be learned.
Him or herself on a program that you have spent a great deal of time preparing. It is inexcusable, and I will address
that. Some of us in Washington have been sent down there.
But it appears that some of us are not to be respected. That decision still holds true, it seems.
Slowly dig out.
That black people have no rights, that whites need respect.
Now there's a card that hasn't been played in Houston.
Exposed to the public view, those who would destroy this nation.
From a legal point of view, that is reprehensible conduct, particularly on this day. I want to make it very clear to all concerned that if it is not clear that there has been a change, well, there is a change.
The liberals collapse in confusion when you begin to race card them. They begin to question themselves. Oh, maybe they're right. Oh, so let's frame it like this. Let's consult the ancient Book of Jones. Let us pretend for a moment that all Jewish people who do not fully support Israeli aggression are self-hating, and they don't count.
A lot in terms of trying to work with the African-American communities. My dad worked in the film industry, and he was a precision machinist. He did a lot of work in special effects.
Right.
And he sponsored, he worked within his union. He was shop steward, and he instituted a program to bring young black men from the ghetto into an apprenticeship program in Hollywood, in the film industry. Huh?
Myla, I think we have a call for you.
For me?
Yeah, hold on.
All right.
Okay.
Excuse me, allow me to interrupt for a minute. Can I interrupt? Can I interrupt, please? Can I have something to say?
No.
I think I detect from your voice that you are a woman. Is this true?
Just as I
thought. It's not very hard to figure out that women don't like themselves very much. Otherwise, why would you have called yourself a Jew? This is not the type of Jewish voices that we would like to hear on Pacifica. You can't trust people who don't like themselves very much. You can't have a bunch of self-hating, anti-Semitic, misogynist women. We don't just want to hear Jewish voices. We want to hear Jewish words. Jewish words spoken by men who can back them up. We want to hear Jewish words that have power behind them, you see. Those are the type of Jewish voices that people listen to. When you see large, sweating young men in tanks and in helicopters, people listen, you see. And if you don't believe me, ask any Palestinian! Excuse me. You will be dealt with! You will be dealt with! Those are words you can live by. Excuse me. I can no longer continue this conversation because I have George Barnstone on the other line. But thank you for having me on your show while I crawl back into wherever I've come from.
We're not sure who that was.
Yeah. It's good of you to provide a balanced perspective and to give this guy an opportunity to say his piece.
I'm so glad you noticed, Myla. It's one of the things we're most proud of.
Uh-huh. You guys crack me up.
Okay.
Yeah, I love you guys.
Okay.
Bye, Myla. Tell everybody. Bye.
Therefore, those who do support Israeli aggression are the real Jews, you see. And anything that's said against them is Jew-baiting, you see. That's how you play that card, you know. And it works very well, doesn't it? Hey, and it's worked before, hasn't it? So we'll see how the stupid hicks down here in Houston handle that one. Hence the need for tailgunner George Barnstone.
As of tonight, the 17th day of March.
Because how better to conduct a witch hunt than wrapped in the colors of the ACLU? Yes, let's see how the liberals handle that one. A race-baiting witch hunt anti-Semite card wrapped up in an ACLU flag. Oh, yeah, it's so sweet I can taste
integrity of anyone else's program, nor will they countenance it.
Darryl had to pick somebody. Susan Darrow had to pick somebody, and she tried to get Ganter.
That's right.
The judge wouldn't allow it. George called her up, and made the pitch. Mm-hmm. Barney Goodman was on.
One day.
Went ahead and made a few phone calls.
I had nothing to do.
To alert, Barney's music and business connections that, his destruction of a community radio station wasn't appreciated. And the next thing you know, Barnstone was on there. He got appointed as the lab appointee from Houston. Let me tell you guys the story when Dennis and I first met George at the Last Concert Cafe with Weisgull, Ted Weisgull, and Earl Gerhard. And this was to introduce us to George as a potential PNB member. And so we sat down to lunch, and Dennis explained to him why, no, George, it's not a good time for you to go on because these people are trying to stack the board to keep it from taking its natural course to go back to being a community network.
This is, in other words, this was when he was going to go on with Marion Barry.
Barry et al. Yeah. So we sat down and we had a little chat with him. And we explained to him that, you know, Juan Gonzalez didn't like this, and you know, Amy Goodman didn't approve of it. I don't think he at that time knew who they were. At least when we mentioned those names, he didn't say anything about them one way or the other. So, you know, this conversation goes on for a while, and he just kept saying, I hear what you're saying, I hear what you're saying. Remember how he said he talks in groups of three? Yeah. I hear what you're saying, I hear what you're saying. And finally he just said, but I respectfully disagree. And we said, well, why? And finally he didn't have an answer, and we just kept asking. And finally he said, because I want it. I want this job. And I know I can do a good job. I know I can fix it. And so just as a matter of course, Dennis said, well, George, you know, you say you, this is a progressive radio network. You know, what do you know about progressive politics? What do you think of NAFTA? And George said, well, NAFTA has brought tremendous wealth to Mexico, and the people have, a lot of the people have benefited from it, but it was implemented poorly, and there were some human rights abuses. So because of those human rights abuses, I don't support it. But, and he said it again, but, you know, as far as a theory, it was very well thought out. It just wasn't executed correctly. But it helped the majority of people in Mexico. So, you know, I mean, I didn't, you know, you didn't even have to raise your eyes up from the slimy burritos that we were eating to, you know, know. And then Dennis asked the question, so, George, what progressive periodicals or magazines or newspapers do you read? And there was about a 20, maybe a 25-second pause, and he said, the New York Times. and then Dennis said, well, what else? Started to stammer a little bit, and another pause, and Dennis sort of said, Texas Observer? He said, yeah, Texas Observer, Observer. And then Dennis said, The Nation? He said, yeah, the Nation, The Nation. And we went through about two to four more publications, and
Free Republic.
That's the, you know, this whole George is driven by the need. Oh, and this is my opinion, by the need for people to think of him as a progressive, and that's why he put forth that little thing at the January PNB meeting about, you know, supporting the UN. You know, irrespective of the fact that UN didn't condemn the bombings of Kosovo, and then what was it in California for, you know, the PNB to endorse the death penalty, that we're against the death penalty as Pacificans. So, I mean, this just, these are eyewitness accounts and actual experiences that I've had that, you know, I mean, this is such a critical and important time. I mean, and now he's forming this little committee at the behest of you know, Gieselman, Jones, and Merriman.
Could you tell us what does Greg Gieselman do? Isn't he appointed to something on the lab?
I think he's the chair of the news committee.
The search for the news committee.
So this morning.
Okay.
So if we are going to behave this way,
now you will see.
I wish people would understand it is a two-way street.
You are seeing today.
But in any event,
to marshal the forces of the opposition.
I simply would not allow it.
An all-out attempt.
Whether people like it or not.
Using not merely the communists.
I did not ask for this responsibility, but I have assumed it. And in assuming it, I will carry...
Things are falling into place rather nicely. We have a few slime balls hanging around the station, calling everyone anti-Semitic. We now have an incident. Well, I have stated, in direct contradiction to six of the witnesses which don't matter, that Mr. Bzenko has been issuing racial epithets to two respected Israeli consulate person who had come to provide even coverage in KPFT.
Give us your question, please.
It's like an if you're a Jew, you're a self-hating Jew, but if you're a non-Jew, then you're anti-Semitic. There's a big difference. The Zionists are murdering Palestinians, and this is the fact.
We're gonna move. We can't get a question. We're gonna move on to line one.
And now we've manufactured ourselves a nice little incident. Yes, we have. Now. Perhaps even an international incident. The FBI let us down. Maybe we can piss off the Mossad.
And some of my good friends. An exposing crooked. I would like to tonight, if you don't mind, I would like to give you the names of some of the individuals who to have appeared before our one-man committee. And keep in mind, when you talk about a one-man committee, as far as my committee is concerned, we've never held a single hearing.
War on the Mexicans and the Cubans and the Hawaiians and the Filipinos and so on and so forth, and continues to happen to this day. Okay, this is what Pacifica is supposed to be fighting.
Give us your question, please.
These self-proclaimed revolutionaries, they don't have too many friends around here, you know.
Our job as Americans and as
members of the Lone Star ACLU
is to dislodge the traitors from every place where they have been sent to do their traitorous work.
Pale gun of George Barnstone.
My name is George Barnstone. I'm from Lone Star State, Houston, Texas.
And what a spellbinding speaker. Now there's a Jones puppet for you. One line into the IPNB meeting and the other line out to Dan Jones. Well,
George Barnstone. Can you please tell me what the motion is once again?
We're in the middle of a vote. Teresa has already voted yes. George, I was doing that for George's benefit. George, are you prepared to vote or do you want to come back?
Please come back to me.
Okay, Marion Barry?
Yes.
Pete Branson?
Yes.
Janice Bryant?
Yes.
Dave Furtick?
Yes.
Ray LaForest?
Yes.
Rob Robinson?
Yes.
Carol Spooner?
Yes.
George Barnstone?
You
should be highly irregular, but I'm willing to do that for the sake of just being very, very clear about what's happening and how it's happening. Or Jabari can cast his vote. What's the sense of the body? Do you want to? George hasn't cast his vote yet.
I think implicit in the statement, board members, although I very clearly hear you say in this document. There's a statement in this document that says, when it requires that the chair treasurer...
I'm sorry, George, are you reading section G.3? There will be no executive committee, only a chair, a treasurer, and a secretary. Is that what you're reading?
Yes.
Okay, that's what it says. That's the exact language. It does not say that you can't have a treasurer who's not a board member. I'm sorry, folks. I'm going to rule on this, that we are done with this discussion. We have to complete the vote. George, you are more than free to vote against this or to abstain, or to vote yes. However, can we get a vote, George?
Apparently George forgot his cell phone.
George?
I'll vote for
it. Randall was great. He's so progressive.
I would like to just pick at random the names of 20, if I may.
For a real estate guy. Did I mention he's with the ACLU?
Let me tell you what happened to those 20. All of them...
I think we brought that up, didn't we?
The time they appeared before our committee.
So now we have tail gun of George Barnstone, you see.
The time they were subpoenaed.
And now he stands before this so-called elected board.
In their order to appear, they were...
With the reputation of the IPNB...
working for the
and
government...
And the ACLU...
All of them after they appeared before the committee...
And he calls for investigations, you see...
Either fired or suspended.
Without looking into the evidence, of course, but why would he look into the evidence?
Just run for the name.
Why would a slimy lawyer care about evidence?
A lot of the hijackers are still firmly entrenched. We can't always be, we got to watch who we, deal with here. They tried to steal our station. They tried to steal our network, We need to get rid of some of these people before any changes happen. Or nothing's going to change. And we're in danger of losing it again. And so,
W. Powell, Robert Goodwin, Edward Rothschild, Nathaniel Mills, Henry R.
Things are going very nicely. Yes, they are.
Pierre Karski, R. Levine, Alexander Gregory, Theodore Pappas, Victor Bowie.
See, if anybody on the board has questions or comments, George, again, speak right into the microphone, George.
Yeah. I will. Yeah, I will. Actually, this question goes to Ferdinand as well. The fact that there is a...
Please, this won't take me a moment. Consistent Were the first statement alluded to? Or did you mean in your earlier statement to exclude yourself?
Well, no, I know the correct answer to every legal question, and that's it depends. And
thanks, Dave.
I do not know.
No, I'm not going towards going for the
from the category of members against whom charges can be preferred. Upon what precedent do you?
I think that John Murdoch demonstrated the dangers of a board member having a legal taking legal action on behalf of the board. I think that. Again, Dan, I don't know if you have any clarification on these issues raised by George.
I think Dan is trying to speak to
Irving
their
Perez. That name I imagine is familiar.
Okay, now
Sidney Friedland, W. Powell,
Bob Bazenko,
Robert Goodwin, Robert.
It's
Northrup,
so nice that we get along so well with these Argentarites, you know. Yes, they play well. Why can't we all just get along?
My good friends.
I've always had great respect for George Bonstone, like everyone else around here.
Next thing I know, I had, just before that, I had Barnstone snuck up next to me while I was sitting at my place at the lab meeting, and he pulled at my shirt sleeve, and he started whispering to me right in the middle of the meeting, leapt up from his chair across the room, and came over and crouched next to me, and said, "Hep, I really want you to, you know, don't say anything about this because this is a chance to cleanse HRR. It's a chance to cleanse it." And what I've noticed about George is he gets a hold of a word and he'll just use it. And cleanse was the word that he used for a while there. And he said it about six times.
Six times.
Cleanse, this will, if we pass this resolution, we'll cleanse it. I didn't really know what he wanted. I didn't want to know what he meant. So I just said, "Okay, George, I'll think about it." He said, "Please, just think about it." Very, very earnest, and then he went back to his chair. Well, then we came up to, finally we got, George got his little item on there about Bazenko and this, committee that he wants. And so he got up there and he made his resolution, and I don't know if it was before we voted on it, but I had to go to the bathroom, and so I got up, and sure enough, he snagged me right as I was leaving the room. And pleaded with me to accept it because it was fair. It was fair, and he just kept saying the word fair. And so I went down to the bathroom, and sure enough, someone came into the bathroom right behind me and made me nervous enough that I had to go into the stall just so I could complete what I had set out to do. And I came out of the stall, and there was George right there in the stall, and we went up and did a kind of a mutual hand washing. Not with each other, but, singular. And he, again, pleaded with me that it was the fair thing to do, And I agreed with him. And I actually voted for the committee because I know that if he's going to pursue this, then there will be alternate charges. And the fact that Gieselman made the statement to Ken Freeland that Bazenko made anti-Semitic remarks, that's a very serious charge. Someone who's in the left in a public, on the airwaves, in a public persona. That's a very serious charge, and that will come out in this investigation. And then George is going to have to step up to the plate, and he's going to have to do something about, if he's going to take this to the end point, he's going to have to do something about Gieselman being on the lab. And that's true. There are six witnesses who will testify, at least four of them will testify, that Bazenko did not say one word to these people in or out. And that's Scott Parkin, Jay Gaelic, Janice Blue, Mike, the longish-haired radio operator. Oh, and Jeff Wittig. Jeff Wittig, who is an attorney for Continental.
I think Steve may weigh out.
All right, Steve will probably weigh out. So there's five direct witnesses who also stated that Edwin Johnston was monkeying around with his art car and that he was in the CD room at the table eating something, and that these people left the sound room without any interaction with Bazenko. And for Gieselman to make this statement to Ken Freeland that Bob made anti-Semitic remarks, that is a freaking slur. And George had better put that into his one of his charges if he's going to carry this forward.
There are also some upcoming ACLU events in which we will distribute literature on
Orlando, McClellan.
Don't
get the connection. Is she hiding something? I wonder if she was born in Orlando. There seems to be some confusion about her date of birth. When was she born, I wonder?
Maybe she's not really a McLellan. Perhaps she is really a McLellan Stein. Or McLellan Berg, if you get my drift. I hear she's in New York City. What does that tell you? Maybe she's a Jew. You have to watch out for these Jews. They can be very anti-Semitic. You can't trust them.
Or in defense of my own. If the left-wingers stand there...
May we enter?
Why, certainly, certainly.
Forgive the intrusion. My companions and I come here on a matter of grave import.
Come right in.
My name, sir, is Oates, Titus Oates, Doctor of Philosophy.
Ah, this is a rare privilege. I've read about your career with great interest, Dr. Oates.
In a certain sense, we pursued the same line of endeavor as did my companions. May I present Torquemada, Inquisitor General of the Spanish Inquisition?
I am honored, sir.
I am very happy to make your acquaintance, Mr. Torquemada.
George Barnstone, IPNB Inquisitor from the ACLU.
A privilege.
The Lone Star State.
And this is another distinguished member of our profession, so to speak. Mr. Cotton Mather, formerly of Salem, Massachusetts.
I bid you welcome, sir.
Cotton Mather, well, this is a privilege.
And this gentleman is the distinguished jurist, Baron George Jeffreys.
How do you do, Judge?
Your servant, sir.
His lordship's fame would have been instantly known to you had I presented him as the hanging judge.
Oh, the hanging judge. Why, this is a pleasure. I should have remembered the name, Judge.
No need for apologies. So few people do.
The devil take you out, sir, with enough of your jibes. The fame of the Bloody Assizes will live long after your confounded Popish plot will have been forgotten. Miserable little sneak, informer.
You dare call me that butcher?
My friends, I beg of you. We shall be giving our new friend a false impression.
Up here, we live in peace and brotherly love.
Oh, don't apologize. You should hear what some of my pals used to call me. Well, I'm really flattered by this visit, gentlemen. Of course, I'm not really in yet. I understand I've got to be investigated first. I'd like to ask your advice. I raised a point with the gatekeeper.
The committee has already met in executive session, and your proposal has been rejected.
Oh, you seem to know a great deal about it.
That's hardly surprising, sir. We are on the committee.
You are?
We have served on it for a considerable length of time.
You constitute a majority of the committee?
Yes. However, we merely serve in an advisory capacity.
The gatekeeper makes all final decisions.
We, of course, play no small part in influencing those decisions.
The gatekeeper has never, to my knowledge, used his veto.
And you gentlemen see eye to eye on most matters?
On all matters.
Invariably. Up here, one's perspective changes. We rise above our differences.
Say rather that we have submerged our differences in the face of a treacherous and powerful enemy.
And that enemy is?
Down there.
Ah, I see. A foreign power.
It is our high purpose to awaken the apathetic multitudes to the imminent danger of an attack from within by this foreign power, which has never renounced its goal of complete domination.
We believe that purpose can best be accomplished by exposing the extent to which agents of this foreign power have infiltrated into our midst, spreading their noxious doctrine and enlisting the aid of unsuspecting dupes in a monstrous conspiracy.
But how have these subversive elements managed to enter? Who is responsible?
The gatekeeper.
The gatekeeper?
In my considered opinion, speaking as one trained in jurisprudence, the evidence is overwhelming.
Then why has he been permitted to remain in his present high position of trust?
For some time now, we have been considering ways and means of exposing the gatekeeper and forcing his resignation. We've hesitated to do so until a man could be found to take his place. Your arrival at this time is most opportune.
Gentlemen, surely you don't mean...
There is no doubt you are the man.
I am honored.
We have before us an application for permanent entry. Is the applicant present?
I'm ready.
It is our Mr. purpose Chairman, on this committee...
On a point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Sir, I was about to inform
sir,
you of the rules...
Sir, I believe my point of order takes precedence.
As I understand it, the point of order is usually
Chairman.
Raised in connection with procedure.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Since I have not yet informed you of the rules, I fail to see how a
Mr.
point of
Mr.
order...
Mr. Chairman, my
is...
point of order is not raised... In connection with rules of procedure.
Consider your proposal.
Mr. Chairman, I must insist that I be allowed to finish my point of order without interruption from the chair.
Oh, very well.
Today, I am prepared to bring specific charges concerning the fitness of a certain member of this committee.
But will you please state against whom you are bringing these charges?
Against the chairman of this committee, the gatekeeper.
That is preposterous.
Mr. Chairman.
It's ridiculous. You are out of order.
Mr. Chairman, I cannot accept that ruling. Now, I ask you, sir, to the effect that I am out of order in preferring charges against you, consistent... Please, this won't take me a moment. Consistent with the first statement alluded to, or did you mean in your earlier statement to exclude yourself from the category of members against whom charges can be preferred? Upon what precedent do you base such a flagrantly improper ruling?
Well, I don't follow your question.
Oh, now, come, you know that's a perfectly simple question. Is your statement true? The statement that proven charges of unfitness would result in removal of the member concerned?
The first statement?
Or were you lying?
How dare you accuse me of lying?
Then it was true.
It most certainly was.
Then how do you reconcile it with your present position?
I merely stated...
I'm asking you to state the position of the chair. Are you refusing now to allow me to air these charges?
No, of course not. That would not be consistent.
May I suggest that the matter would be expedited in the interests of propriety best served if you were to relinquish the chair temporarily while these charges are placed before the committee? Would this be satisfactory to the applicant?
I have no objection whatsoever.
Well, it's completely without precedent.
People don't have
nothing for themselves. Will you take the chair?
I shall consider it a privilege.
Most unusual.
You may proceed with your charges.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, in view of the admission of gross inefficiency by the gatekeeper, in view of the fact that he cannot deny there's a possibility that subversive persons likely to be agents of a foreign power, by taking advantage of the gatekeeper's laxness, if indeed it is mere laxness and not deliberate and treasonable coddling of
the respect level.
We've been derelict in our duty.
People don't have respect for themselves. I'm urging that at least we respect...
The Lone Star State...
I take responsibility, and indeed a tremendous amount of time and personal respect.
I'll say it again. Our differences are reconcilable.
It may for civilizations or a better place.
I'll say it again. Our differences. I'll say it again. Our differences are reconcilable. I'll say it again. Our differences are reconcilable. I'll say it again. Our differences are reconcilable. The use of the race card, that's right. I said the race card to divide and pit people against each other. I'll say it again. Our differences are reconcilable. The only thing we will negotiate are terms of your departure. We see around us a growing pro-democracy movement, both in this country and around the world. Pacifica is not a jukebox. It should be and will be at the forefront of this movement, just as it has been at the forefront of every major social justice movement in the past 50 years. We demand that you step down and that the Pacifica Board be reconstituted along democratic lines. We say, resign now.
If it were in my power to forgive you for your reckless cruelty, I would do so. I like to think I'm a gentleman, but your forgiveness will have to come from someone other than me.